Well, good morning once again. It's wonderful to be here in God's house this morning. Amen. If you would, let's all turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, this morning I'm kind of reminded of a story that was back in Matthew chapter 17 whenever Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. Now, the father came to Jesus. He said, "Can you heal my son? He's having seizures, and sometimes he throws himself in the fire and sometimes even in the water." And I took him to the disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. They couldn't help him. They couldn't heal him. And Jesus says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long must I stay with you? How long must I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith." So the disciples had been given the authority to do the healing, but they had not yet learned how to appropriate the power of God. And Jesus' frustration is with the unbelieving and unresponsive generation. His disciples were merely a reflection of that attitude in this instance. Jesus' purpose was not to criticize the disciples, but to encourage them to a greater faith. So he wasn't down on them. He was wanting to encourage them to a greater faith. And the disciples had been unable to drive out this demon, and they asked Jesus why. And he pointed to their lack of faith. And it is the power of God, not our faith, that moves mountains, but faith must be present to do so. Faith must be present to do so. Maybe the disciples tried to drive out the demons with their own ability rather than God's. Now let me ask you this morning, church, how many mountains are we moving? How many mountains have we been moving? Now, this morning I want to talk a little bit about faith over doubt. And I feel like sometimes maybe the faith is there just a little bit, but in the back of our mind, there's a little bit of doubt also, and we can't have both at the same time, right? We need to be 100% faith, not a little bit of faith and a lot of doubt. We all have a lot of doubt. And the choices we make, what I would consider today is one of the most important, which is to choose faith over doubt. Now, I didn't say faith over unbelief, but faith over doubt, and there is a difference in doubt and unbelief. We do not doubt what we do not first believe. And as Christians, we live with a sense of assurance and certainty of confidence. As Christians, we live with assurance, but not without doubt. If we live, we're going to live to doubt. And there are hard questions that the world asks, and we ask as well. When a tsunami, an earthquake, some kind of natural disaster strikes the earth, we wonder, "God, what is this? Why is this? Why did so many seemingly innocent people get hurt or maybe even lost their lives?" People try to explain it, and it just ends up in the ditch. We ask questions, and the world is asking questions like, can it be true that Christianity, the Christian faith, that Jesus is the only way to heaven? How can we claim that Jesus and Jesus only is Savior? That His name and His name only saves? What about people of other religions who may be just as sincere and even more devoted than some who profess the name of Christ? What about them? Or questions like, how could a loving God or would a loving God send someone to judgment or to hell? These are all questions that we are asked as Christians. These are all questions that we're going to be asked in the workplace, in school, in all of these other places. These are the questions that we're going to be asked. And this morning we have to have some faith over doubt. How could it be possible that people suffer, that there's cancer in little children with unexplained illnesses or young men and women struck down in the prime of their lives? We've all asked these kinds of questions, if we're honest. I know I've asked these kinds of questions, and as a Christian, I'm still going to ask these kinds of questions. We ask the hard questions, but are we willing to seek God's word for the answers? Are we willing to dive into the gospel for the answers? Maybe you doubted when you prayed and prayed, but nothing seemed to happen. The one you prayed for died or is still sick, or perhaps a prayer for your marriage and it still blew apart. On and on, we could go on with these kinds of questions that we cannot ignore. In fact, the scripture says that we are to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. We are to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. What hope is in you this morning? Certainly there's evidence to believe, there's a reason to believe, and we can believe confidently, but in order to do that, we must be willing to deal with our doubts, because our doubts can become the doorway. Now listen to what I'm saying. Our doubts can become the doorway to a deeper faith, a more mature faith, a more fortified faith. We've all been there. We've all had them doubts. So if you would, let's stand in the honor of reading of God's word. And we're going to read John chapter 14, 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be good enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for this day and all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to please forgive us of our sins, for we know we're sinners. Lord, we just ask you to open our minds and our hearts this morning to your word and to the message, Lord. And Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you today, that today will be the day that they will come to know you. Lord, I just ask that you guide us, lead us, and direct us in the way you want us to go. We love you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 5, Jesus is explaining to Philip that who wanted to see the Father. Philip says, I want to see him. Just show him to me and I'll believe it. Now, that's the kind of world we're in today. We're in a see it to believe it kind of world. We just can't hardly believe anything that we don't see, right? It's there. It's there. You don't have to raise your hands. I know that it's there. And Jesus was saying that to know Jesus is to know God. The search for God, for truth and reality ends in Christ. It ends in Christ. And one of my favorite character personalities in the Bible is Thomas. And you say, well, I know him, old doubting Thomas. Yeah, Thomas had some doubts, but mainly he had some questions. He was a sincere, reflective doubter. He was a part of the inner circle of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And thanks to Thomas and to his questioning the Lord, even at times interrupting the Lord, even at times rejecting the words of others so that he would know himself, thanks to Thomas, we have two of the most powerful affirmations of faith in all the Word of God. Now, we all do that. We all do exactly what Thomas is doing. We want to see it for ourselves. We want to ask the questions for ourselves. That's not unbelief. That's opening the doorway to our doubt and our faith. That's not unbelief. We've got questions. When we've got questions, we're just kind of doubting. We still got a little bit of faith there. In John chapter 14, Jesus explained that he is going away to prepare a place in the Father's house. And Jesus said there in the dark night of the upper room as he is on his way to the cross preparing his disciples for death, speaking of his resurrection, and yet there the disciples, they just don't seem to get it. They're lost. They don't seem to get it. Jesus said, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And automatically a hand shoots up in the air. It's Thomas. Oh, Thomas. Yes, Thomas, Jesus says, well, I've got a question, Lord. I've got a question. Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going or how to get there. Well, we know that Thomas is good for interrupting. That's exactly what he done. And And thanks to that question, we have one of the most firm foundational truths of our faith. The words of Jesus in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's not your cause. It's not your creed. It's not your church. It is Christ. And with that sincere doubt and hard question comes our opportunity to believe in the one who said, I am the way. Now, Jesus answers the ultimate questions of life, how we live, how we die, and what comes afterwards. Okay, I know that we think there's a whole bunch more in the middle there, and there is our Christian faith. We're supposed to be sending out the message of God. That's our job as Christians. That's our great commission. But he tells us how we live, how to die, and what comes afterwards. And I believe in Jesus. And no, I'm standing right here as a grown man, and I'm telling you right now, I believe in Jesus. And though I haven't seen him, and I will one day, I still love him. And I love Jesus, and I will see him one day. And if I had 10,000, 10 million lives, I'd give every one of them to follow him, and that's how much I believe. That he died for me and rose again, and in his resurrection, that is the ultimate evidence. That's the ultimate evidence. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that doubt that how could anyone be born of a virgin? How can anyone die and rise again? It's our faith. Those are doubts that we have. We need to overcome them doubts with our faith. So many apologists for the Christian faith have written reams of material. There's all kinds of material you can read. There's material right here in the library at First Baptist Church Ellington. You can go to the internet. And I challenge you to go to the internet. If you're a skeptic, if you're a doubter, if you don't know but want to know regarding the resurrection, regarding who Jesus is and why he came and what he did in the Christian faith, go to the internet. I've done the exact same thing. Whenever I was writing this sermon, of course, I wrote many other sermons. I've probably written this one like 700 times. But as I was doing it, I'm going to the internet and I'm looking up faith. I want to see what faith means in the Bible. I want to see what doubt means. I want to see what love actually means in the Bible. I want to know what a skeptic is. I want to know what a mocker is. I want to know all of these things. And it's right there on the internet. I can pull it right up and within 5 seconds, I've got it. We've all got a phone. Pick up the phone. Look it up. It's there. It's there, right there for us to grab. You see, so many people reject the Bible who have never even read the Bible. That's dishonesty. You reject what someone told you about Jesus or what someone said about the Bible, but you've never given yourself to a personal investigation of the claims of Christ and the case for Christ in your life. And that's dishonest doubt. And I challenge you, if you're a doubter, sincere doubt and a willing response to the gospel and a message of Christ, a small faith is better than a superficial faith. We can start with our small faith. We can think about something that's small, but think about Daniel in the lion's den, what kind of faith that was. How many of us have faith like that? We move in mountains like that? That's a lot of faith. How long, O simple ones, this is Proverbs 1:22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers and unbelievers today, mockers and fools, hate knowledge? You see, there's a difference between an honest doubter and a dishonest doubter, an honest skeptic and a dishonest skeptic. An honest doubter, skeptic, doesn't know but wants to know. They don't know but want to know. Lord, if you're real, show me the truth. If your word is literally true, teach me your truth. God, show me the way. The Bible says if you seek him, you will find him. And that's the truth. If you seek him, you will find him. The Bible tells us that. If you sincerely seek him, you will find him. That's an honest doubter, and God's not afraid of our doubts. God knows what's on our mind. We're not hiding anything from him. We may be hiding it from someone else, but we're not hiding from God. God is not intimidated by our hard questions. So ask your questions of God. But then there's a dishonest doubter, someone who doesn't know and doesn't care to know, doesn't want to know. So often the problem with unbelief or doubt is not a mental problem, but it's a moral problem. Jesus spoke of an evil heart of unbelief, but unbelief and doubts are different in that unbelief refuses to believe and respond, and doubt is questioning. Okay, so we're questioning. There's nothing wrong with questions. Ask God your questions, your hard questions. Doubt is wondering, and so the scripture says, if you turn in my reproof, and this is verse 23 of Proverbs 1, if you turn in my reproof, behold, I will pour my spirit to you with all of our arguments, with all our rationale, with all of our evidences that we shall present to an unbelieving, skeptical world. We need to remember that ultimately salvation, conversion, is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, when you try to lead someone to Christ and they don't make that decision, that's not on you. That's between them and God. You've done your job as a Christian. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon them. The Holy Spirit is given by God to convict and to convince, convert, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because they believe not, and the scripture says, I will make my words known to you. So there it is. So to the skeptic, to the doubter, we simply ask, do you want to know? Are you willing to do the hard work that it will require to truly believe? Are you willing to do the hard work that it will require to truly believe? About 6 months or a year ago, I'm saying 6 months or a year, that's a big span, ain't it? 6 months or a year ago, I started doing daily devotions. And I got them daily devotions right on my phone, okay? So it's just easy. Bam, I can get right to them daily devotions. And I found that a lot of times, all the time, let's not say a lot of times, all the time, I may be struggling with something on a Tuesday, okay? And I'm struggling with this. And so when I'm struggling with it, I've actually got a little doubt, right? So there's not very much faith there, a little bit of faith, but a lot of doubt. And then come Wednesday, I open that phone up to that daily devotion, and there that Bible scripture is that was telling me to not worry about what happened yesterday. And then there's a whole devotion on what I might have been dealing with the day before. And how awesome and how clear that makes me feel. It makes me feel clear. So I ask you, if you got a little bit of faith, start with the daily devotion. How about that? Start with that. It's right there on your phone. It's just as easy as Facebook is. Bam, you just hit that daily devotion right there. It's that easy. So I would say in my life and in a lot of people's lives, the most common saying when we get to heaven's going to be, aha, that's what was going on in my life. That's why I went through this trial. I know that it's going to happen. That's why that tragedy happened. This is why I hurt so deeply. In the pure light of eternity, in the perfect day eternal, we will see him face to face in his glorious light. But the opposite is true. To choose unbelief as compared to faith is a way of darkness and stumbling, and ultimately separation from God forever. Now, how could a person resist the love of God and be separated from God forever? Proverbs 14:6 says, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Christianity is not this complicated thing that some have made it. I mean, there's deep things of God, we understand that. But it's not this difficult thing that people's made it. They've never read the gospel. They're a dishonest doubter. But the Proverbs say, a wayfaring man, though he is a fool, will find his way. The smallest child, the simplest person on earth could know and love Jesus. Amen to that. Amen to that. I'm that simplest child. I'm that wayfaring man. Suffering, of course, produces doubt. When we suffer, it produces doubt, especially among believers. When we hurt so badly, we begin to question our faith. We question ourselves. We may even say, God, what on earth are you doing in my life? God, why did you take my child? This is not right. It's wrong. God, why is there this injustice when we suffer and when we are emotionally distraught and disturbed, move into a dark period in our lives where doubt and fears may arise? and we let those doubts overcome us. We don't look for that faith. And I know that in times of personal struggle and suffering, I hang on to that principle that God's light is true even when I can't see it. His light is true even when I can't see it. So when you're going through that struggle, think about that. God's light is true even when I can't see it. He's not going to put anything on you that you can't handle. But you need to be praying about it. You need to be asking him about it. You need to not try to figure it all out on your own. It's not going to happen. Sometimes we hurt so badly that we run from him. Maybe we need to be running to him. Sometimes when we hurt so badly, we automatically are angry, so we run from him. But what if we hurt so badly that we ran to him first? We didn't do that second. We done it first. We ran to him first instead of running from him first. Whether it is a discipline from the Lord when God is pruning us that we may bear more fruit, whatever the cause or reason. Sometimes we will not know, as I said, this side of eternity, but one day we will know. And that's when we're going to holler that, aha, that's what was going on in my life. One day we will know. And I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day to see all them jewels coming down and that wall. I'm excited. Now, Thomas, on another occasion after the resurrection, he was absent the first time. The disciples met Jesus on Sunday, so he wasn't there. And some of the disciples said to him later when they caught up with him, they invited him to church the next week. They said, "We've seen the Lord." And you can only imagine what Thomas said. "I'm not going to believe that until I see him." That's what Thomas said. He was doubting. "I'm not going to believe that until I see him. I've got to see him. And I want to put my hands in his side. I want to put my hands in that spirit wound. I want to put my hands on them holes in his hands and in his feet." And that's what I want to do, because I got to see it to believe it. And those disciples were so convinced enough that they said, "Come on, brother, come on. Come to church, we'll show you." So Thomas came, and he came with his questions, and immediately when he saw Jesus, Jesus said, "Come on, Thomas, you asked for it, come on." And Thomas gave us from result one of the greatest affirmations of the Christian faith ever given. He fell on his face and said, "My Lord and my God." He was confessing faith in Christ. And Jesus received that because that's who he is, but it was doubt that became the doorway to his faith. He doubted it, and it became the doorway to his faith. Job, in the midst of his darkness, said, "I know that my Redeemer lives and at the end will stand upon the earth." And we all know the story of Job. He went through all these trials, and they took his livestock and his servants and his children and give him sores on his body. He was sick, and his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? I know whom my Redeemer is." Job knew in the midst of all that. The psalmist said, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." Deuteronomy 7 says, Moses said, "Now therefore know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, and who is he, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant in steadfast love." He promises to do it. He never lies. He never tells a lie. "You know that he has appeared to take away sins. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." And you will know, John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And that man who came to faith in Christ, who was a blind man, would be questioned and prodded by those who were hysterically opposed to Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, "I don't know, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I see. I know whom I believed." And John 5:13 says that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know concerning these things which are written. Proverbs 35 and 6 says, "Every word of God proves to be true. He is a shield of those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Do not add, do not take away from the gospel. In other words, God's words, God's promises are true, and it is his promise of salvation is don't trust in your feelings. Don't wait until you get this all figured out. These things were written, the word of God, which is pure and perfect, is written that you may know. That you may know, that you may K-N-O-W, you know. Know that you have eternal life with him. If you wait till you get it all figured out, you're never going to come to Christ. We'll never get it all figured out. The only one that's got it all figured out is God. We will never get it all figured out. And if you wait till then, you're never going to come to Christ. For some, faith may be an easy thing, a simple thing. For some, it's harder, and we recognize that. Maybe your temperament, your personality drives you to doubt. Maybe things that's happened in your life drives you to doubt. We've all had them things. We've all had them storms. Are we praising him in them storms? Do we have faith to know that he's going to come through for us? But don't wait until you have every question resolved to give your life to Christ. Come as you are. And I say, come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. So this morning I tell you to come as you are. It doesn't matter how you dressed. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. Come as you are. By faith that his grace, and let God work those things out in your heart and in your mind. Let God do those things. He's the powerful one. We can't do it on our own. Let God do those things. You want to get more faith? Let me tell you how to get a little more faith. Exercise the faith that you have. It doesn't matter if it's this much or this much. Exercise what you do have. Take a small step of faith. Take a singular step of faith. Just like I said, put them daily devotions on your phone. Try that for a week. Tell me that don't work. It works. For some of you, it might begin today. Take a first step of faith to follow Christ for a journey of a lifetime that leads to eternity with him. I say this morning, choose faith over doubt. Faith over doubt. And Beth, if you come forward and for our song of invitation, and Rosemary and Julie. So I say, choose faith over doubt this morning. Come as you are. You know, a good way to get rid of doubts is to fortify your faith. And the way you fortify your faith, strengthen your faith, is to exercise your faith. When you want to get strong bones, what do? When you want to get strong muscles, you exercise them muscles, right? When you want a strong faith, let's exercise that faith. Praying and asking God to do something great in your life and trusting him to do the right thing. He will always do the right thing. It may not always be what we want it to be, but he will always do the right thing. Faith is not about a system of belief or a mental assent. It's about a personal faith, a faith in a person. And his name is Jesus. So this morning I ask you, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with how much faith that you have, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, if you've never asked him to be your Lord and personal Savior this morning, it's never too late this morning, but it may be too late in the next 5 minutes. We don't know. But I ask you to come forward. The altars are open. We'll have people praying with you. Somebody will come with you. If you're afraid to come on your own, someone will come with you. If any kind of burden is on your heart this morning, church, whether you've made a profession of faith in Christ or whether you're just dealing with something that you're struggling with in your life, the altars are open this morning. We want to pray with you this morning. And if you've never made that decision for Christ, then here in a minute, I'm going to lead us all in a simple prayer. And you've got that chance to do that this morning. And if you do, we want you to come forward. We want you to profess that faith that you have. Anything you're dealing with this morning, I know we've all had doubts in our lives. I probably had doubts 25 times this week. We've all done it. We've all been there. But we want to remember that faith over doubt every time. So if you would, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to say the prayer of salvation this morning. If anyone here doesn't, if anyone here says that prayer for the first time, it means that I ask them to just come forward during our song of invitation. All you need to say is, Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again 3 days later to save me of my sins. And I confess that you are Lord. And Lord, I want to follow you from here on out. And I know that there's going to be struggles, but I want to follow you, Lord, with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now let's all stand for our song of invitation.